right. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of... I'm sorry, worked on too many sermons. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read several verses here, and I'm going to have you turn to one other scripture. About baptize the pulpit on that one. Methodist style. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 16 together, and then we'll turn to one other verse. And I really want to help you today. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 16. Let's read responsively. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 4. We're going to read one verse, verse number 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. Let's read this in unison together. Ready? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you this morning. I stand before you needy. I stand before you a sinner. But I preach a perfect book. I preach a book that has not changed since you wrote it before the earth and the heavens were created. I pray that you'd help me today to teach and preach an eternal truth that each of us could get and understand so we could be closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God made us so that we want to please people with our lives. Did you know that everybody in here would like to live a life to where people were pleased? All of us would like to live in such a way to where, I don't mean this the wrong way, to where people liked us, to where we made their life a little better. This week I preached at Bible College Chapel over in Kentucky there for Brother Fugit's college. And they're trained to love preaching. So when you walk out, a few hundred kids are going screaming and hollering, going crazy, and you got to shut them down so that you can start preaching so they don't take all your time away. And they make you feel good. You know, you're an old man and they make you feel young again. They just kind of pull preach out of you a little bit. And it's an exciting place to be and to preach. But may I say this, I didn't go there to be enjoyed. I went there to try to help them. If you go there to get pumped up, you're taking from them. I didn't go to get pumped up. I went to pump up. I went to put something into them. It could be love. It could be pride. It could be anything else, but we want people to love us, and we want people to be pleased with what we do and how we live. We want people to be pleased with our work. You know, you do something and you want something, you want people to enjoy the fact that you did something pretty well. Can I help you parents that have children in school? If they passed, praise them for it. Yep. Just because you didn't get 100 doesn't mean it goes to the booger man. Everybody doing all right?
Yeah.
Did you know that a D is still passing for a reason? Now, some of you thank God that D was passing because that's the only way you passed. All right? And I get that. But can I tell you something? Just because somebody has a bad grade from time to time doesn't mean they're going to go to the booger man next. Why is it we always look for, well, you should have done better here? Usually that means they did better than you, and you got to find something to criticize. We want at work, we want everything, we want our work to be done and done right. We'd like somebody to walk by something that we did at work and say, boy, that was good. That was nice. That's done right. That looks good. We want our spouse or our children or our parents to be pleased in what we do. When our kids were little, they'd do something to try to help mom. Sometimes it was more work to undo what they did, but they did try. My wife trained my children from the time they could literally walk to do laundry. They had to get their laundry into their laundry basket. They had to, if they were big enough to drag it, they had to drag it down the hallway. Then she'd take them down to the laundry and she'd pick them up and they'd get clothes and they'd throw it in the laundry. Say why? Because one day they were going to leave and have to do it on their own. But each time they did it, I would hear, if I were home, I would hear my wife say, you're doing good. Don't put that one in. That one didn't go in. Wrong color. She didn't tell me that because I don't know what color it is. But anyway, she trained our children and she would praise them for the good that they did. By the way, she could have done the laundry much quicker on her own. Speed wasn't the issue. Training was the issue. You know, sometimes we're in such a hurry to train our kids, we spend more time training our dog than we do our children. We'll try to teach a child, but we want to train a dog. Everybody doing all right? Okay. Whew. Somebody say amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to please God? Do you want to please God? According to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says that all things were made by him, and all things that were created were made by him and for him, and that we were made for his pleasure. Let me read it to you again. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, watch this, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Present tense and past tense. And future tense. They are and were created. That means everything here was created for God's pleasure. By the way, it didn't evolve. He created it.
Amen.
Evolution didn't come about till the late 1850s, early 1860s. And it was in accordance with communism and socialism. They had to have a political view that took God out of the equation. Just so you know. If you look through our founding documents of the United States of America, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, it talks about our Creator. You know, say, well, that's because they didn't know any better. Let me ask you a question. I'm not a doctor as far as medical doctor, but Doc, you could affirm this. I know that. Wally, I know you can. Taylor, I know you could. Marcia. Maybe. No, she could. Did you know that a human being cannot get a blood transfusion from an animal?
That's
right. See, well, we're kin to the monkey. Try using monkey blood. You'll die. You'll die. Say why? Because according to Genesis chapter 1, God made everything after its own kind. Did you know you can't put cow blood in a horse?
That's right.
It'll die. Say why? Because they're different kinds. Therefore, if you can't transfer the blood, you're not of the same kind.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
That's right.
That's just a fact. Now, God made everything for his pleasure. Now, listen to this very carefully. Too many of us Christians have the mindset that God is there for our pleasure. We say we're here for God, but if God doesn't do what we want, we get upset with God. God did not make us to have him be our pleasure. God made us to be his pleasure. My wife and I have three children. Well, now we have four because my son got married. No, we're not expecting and not going to be expecting, just so you know, before the rumors go out, all right? But my son and daughter-in-law in Florida and the two children we have in Kentucky, we got to spend time this week with Jeff and Mindy. And we had a good time. Please don't take this the wrong way. My children are adults. They don't have to do what we say. But may I say something? We had fun. We had pleasure together. We played games together. Laughed and laughed and laughed. And both of them are different. My son Jeff has the corniest humor in the world. He has so much corny humor, he's got to have a distillery, I think. I mean, stupid jokes. We didn't laugh at the jokes. We laughed at him laughing at the jokes. You know, Brother Mike, what do you call a dog with no legs? It doesn't matter because it can't come anyway. I mean, stuff like this forever. You know, I mean, it just was nonstop. And some of them were cute. Some of them were, wah, 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 wah. But he liked it and it was funny, all right? You say, what did you do? We were stupid and had fun. That's what we were. But we laughed, carried on, had fun. They were not created for our pleasure. We were there for their pleasure. You as a child of God are here for God's pleasure. He is not here for your pleasure. We have churches filled with people angry, upset, bitter, and depressed because God hasn't done for them what they wanted. Let me ask you a question. Have you done what he wanted? Before you get your tail in a twist, I did that pretty good, didn't I? Before you get yourself all bunched up and in a bad attitude, can I tell you something? Have you done what God asked you to do before you complain? You see, we get mad at God because he doesn't do what we want him to do. But as I've said before, God's not a genie in the bottle that you rub the bottle, he pops out and says, let me do for you whatever you ask. That's not how God works. We were made for his pleasure. He was not made for our pleasure. By the way, he wasn't made. He was the maker.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to make some rough statements here, so hang on. We are so full of pride and so much like the devil wants us to be that even as Christians, we still fight the idea that we're not God. That's right. Let me say that again. We are so full of pride and so much like the devil wants us to be because of our sin that even as Christians, we still fight that desire to be God. Genesis chapter 3. Satan tempted Eve. In the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die, but you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil yourself. You could decide right and wrong, good and evil yourself. We're not supposed to decide that. God decides it.
Amen.
We are not to be our own God. We are to submit to him and do what he said, and things would work out a whole lot better. Our sin causes us to think God is to see life through our eyes instead of us seeing life through his eyes. In the New Testament, it says that the created thinks it's greater than the creator. Look where we're at today.
That's
You see, we think because God didn't do it when we wanted or how we wanted, that God's not fair. I like this. I wrote it down, thought you'd enjoy it. I'm going to put it right where we live. God is not Burger King where we have it our way. He's the King of Kings, and we're to see it His way.
Amen.
I thought that was pretty good. You see, we're not to expect Him to serve us. We are expected to serve Him. We are not to expect God to do anything. He expects us to do something.
Right.
Well, I just don't get it. Why this person, they live a good life, and look how hard it is on them. I don't think God's fair. How many times have we done that, said that, or been that? Who said God had to be good? They are not there to be served by God. They are there to serve God. Did you know sometimes that hardship brings strength to bring blessing later? Ladies, every one of you that's had a child had to go through hardship and labor. You had to go through pain. Yeah, we'll remind you that in a few years when you have one. All right? Can I tell you something? You and not a lady in the world says, man, I'd never do that again. That was worth it. Most of you want another one. God help you. That proves women can't be real smart. Because ain't no man in the world going to put himself through that kind of thing again. That's for sure. And it's proof that women are ugly blind. You marry a man who ain't real good looking, that's for sure. And I'm sorry, but I know you all think them newborn babies are beautiful, but they're not. They look like a prune with fuzz on it. And as all it does is cry, eat, and exhaust, and sleep. I thought through that word very carefully, didn't I? All right, I did good. Can I tell you something? God did not make it. By the way, sin brought the pain with that. Sin brought the pain that came with that. Did you know prior to sin there was no pain in child labor? God help us. Every one of you women's going to choke Eve when you get to heaven. Let me help you with something. I'm going to give you about three thoughts, literally, and I'll be done. Number one, we and all of the earth were created for God's pleasure. Revelation chapter 4:11, for thy pleasure we are and were created. Now, I want you to notice something. God created it all. Notice it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things. Did you know that the space and the heavens were created by God? He sprinkled the stars and the planets in their place. Do you know that they never lose where they're supposed to be? Did you know that 6,000 years ago, people were charting their way 7,000 years ago across the oceans and across the land by the stars, and you can still set your compass to it today? You see, what God put in motion is still in motion. Do you know that we can predict the tides? We can predict sunrise and sunset. We know exactly when it is because God's part of creation that was not affected by sin is still going. Amen. Now the weeds and sometimes the difficulty of extraction and things are due to our sin. The sweat that comes with it, glory to God. See, God created the whole universe. It did not evolve. Let me say this, we are not to worship that which is created. We're to worship the Creator. I'm going to step on some toes here, so go ahead and get mad at me now. Greek mythology shouldn't be studied by Christians. It's Satanism. It is false gods. when we start putting Zeus and Thor and all these other Greek mythological gods before our children, even in games, they are seeing false gods. Be no different than as you read your Bible talking about Baal and talking about some of the other false gods of the Bible. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
You see, we've turned evil spiritual warfare into games for our children. We play games that have false gods in them. We watch shows and we read books about false gods. God didn't make the things of the universe to be worshipped. He was to be worshipped. There's no such thing as Mother Nature or Mother Earth. God made it. There's no such thing as global warming yet.
Amen.
Now, one day there will be, because the Bible says he'll melt it with fervent heat. They're on track to something. There's just a shred of truth to what they believe, but it's not coming until after the millennium. Don't worry. There's at least 1,007 years take place before that happens.
Amen.
And it's not going to be a gradual warming. He said he's going to melt it with fervent heat. I love you. We're not supposed to worship the little fuzzy creatures of the world. Yeah. I got a dog. I like my dog. But if my dog dies, the world doesn't end.
Amen.
Now, I may miss the dog. Not for long. No. Of course, you get attached to your pets. But may I say this? God gave them for our pleasure and for his pleasure. God gave us cows. They're not the most beautiful creature in the world. They're to give milk and they're to eat.
Yes, tasty.
Yeah, buddy. Same thing with deer.
Amen.
They're there for our visual pleasure as well as our physical pleasure. Amen? I hope to be looking at one this week. Anyway. yeah, buddy.
You don't make the deer
to get
the cow.
That's it. Now, God... No. Though I do have an agreement with the farmer. If somebody on the farm shoots a cow, it's fine. You just pay on the hoof price for it. Never hit one yet. Amen. Now, you get these PETA people out there that are all against cruelty to animals. Folks, an animal doesn't have a spirit.
That's right.
It has no spirit. It's body and soul. And I hate to say it, it's not more important than a person. It's amazing, and please don't get mad at me, but if somebody abuses a dog or a cat, they go to jail, but we can send a teenage girl to an abortion clinic and kill a baby, and it's legal. As the old television show was, danger, Will Robinson, danger. We have problems. When it's okay to kill over 70 million babies by abortion in America, and you look at a dog the wrong way or let it loose at the wrong time and it gets hurt, and you go to jail for it. God gave man, according to Genesis chapter 2, dominion over the earth to manage it and to make it productive. The word dominion means dominance. God taught man how to make the world productive for him. That's what the walk in the garden was every day in the cool of the day. Man didn't sit in a cave one day and pound, get mad, throw two stones together and saw a spark take place and have fire. There was no such thing as cavemen. God taught man how to do this. They were mining gold. They were mining metals in Bible days. The gold just wasn't laying on top of the ground. The iron and stuff wasn't laying on top of the ground. They had to get to it. Silver doesn't lay out on top of the grass.
That's right.
They had to learn how to mine and to get those things. And they did. They had to learn how to extract it from the stone. And build fires hot enough to melt the rock and the metal apart from one another, clear the dross off of it. God gave man dominion over the earth. We are to maintain the earth for God's pleasure. I believe we ought to take care of our earth. I do. I believe in that. I am for some of the regulation on pollution. Thank God. If you've never been to Los Angeles in the middle of summer and you see this brown haze, it's bad. Say why? Pollution. I'm for cleaning up our rivers. I'm for making sure that people don't dump their trash and dump their sewers into the water that we drink. I don't know about you, but I don't want to drink out of a sewer, do you? Now, wait a minute. But we're also not supposed to blame him when we don't do things right. Okay, now you can really get mad at me.
I think we should pray for the folks that have been in the path of this hurricane, and it's terrible, the destruction that takes place. Now's when you're going to get mad at me. But I don't feel real sorry for the people that lost their homes that built it right along the edge of the water.
Amen, preacher.
Man's supposed to be smart enough not to build their house right next to the water where it's going to happen.
Amen.
How many of you, since you were a little child, knew that in the Gulf Coast and along the East Coast, hurricanes come? Did you know not a person in here didn't know that doesn't happen? Then why do people build great big buildings right along the the shore? How many of you people know that when we get heavy rains, the rivers flood? Barnes's do. guess what? That means, that's why there's something called a floodplain. And you're not, if you live in a floodplain, you're going to pay higher insurance. Because the potential for flood damage is much higher there. Please don't get mad when the extra rain comes 50 inches this summer and you get flooded. You say, why? Because if you build that close to water, you're going to have water problems. It's just a fact of life. How many of you know they have earthquakes in California? All right. My wife and I have been through probably 100 earthquakes out there when we were out there. It was great. You know, my first earthquake scared me to death. I mean, it, don't mean this in a silly way, but it really shook me up. It was unnerving the first time. Sitting there in my office and all of a sudden my coffee cup starts going. Building starts going. And it's like thunder rolling, but it's underground. And the ground is shaking like this. And it takes a few seconds because you've never been through one. You say, oh, that must be an earthquake. They say, get to a doorway. So I got up. I walked from here to maybe Brother Brian to the other side of my desk and to the door. And as I grabbed for the door frame, it was 2 feet over this way. Because the earthquake pushed the wall over about 2 feet. And then everything started riding. And I went to grab it again, and it's over here about 2 feet over that. The building was moving 3 to 4 feet this way. We lost 2/3 of the water in the baptistry that morning. And I remember looking down the hallway, poured concrete floor on a second floor, Brother Mike, and I didn't know it could happen, but it looked like the wave coming. It just did this, and as it came by, it just threw me like this. And I remember hollering, God, I don't mind going downstairs, but let me use the steps. Because I thought the whole thing was coming down. That lasted for about 45 seconds to a minute. And that was a long 45 seconds, let me tell you. As soon as I could get downstairs, and I got downstairs, I'd be up there. Guess what? When you live in California, you get used to them. By the time we left 2 years later, we'd be sitting, watch the, that's before cell phones, we'd watch the telephone cord start going doop, 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 doop. Okay, we have another earthquake. And there's about 4 or 5 different kinds of earthquakes. You have the little shakers that just go, they just kind of thump. Then you have the gentle rollers. They just kind of back and forth. Then you have what they call the herky-jerky ones. Those aren't real fun. They just start like this. And then you have the wave. But the real bad ones have all of those put together. And when that happens, we've mopped toilet water I don't know how many times. Because all the water in the commode goes whoosh on the floor. You teach your children to flush when they're done, all right? Say why? Because that's earthquakes. Now, don't get mad. These people in Hawaii that lost their homes in the pathway of a volcano. I'm sorry for them, but duh. Why would you build your house in a flow path of a volcano? Don't blame God for the volcano erupting. That's all Hawaii is, are volcanoes. So if you're in a flow path, and they knew that when they bought their homes, I'm sorry they lost their things, but I don't feel real sorry. You got to use a little sense. So all of the earth was created for God's pleasure. Number two, we are not to live as men pleasers. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 22, the Bible says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Very interesting. God says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters." Brother Barnes, it doesn't say, "Obey your saved boss." It says, "Obey your master." That means we're to obey our lost boss at work, and we're to serve. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're not supposed to obey them so they say, "Look what I did. Did you see what I did?" We're supposed to serve them, and the world's got this all backwards. Brother Brian, did you know poor people don't hire anybody? Why are we so upset because somebody worked hard and built a business and has money? Amen. Isn't the rich people the ones that are able to build things and hire people? Yes. And the more successful you get, the more people you hire, which means you do, as the communists want you to, share your wealth. You share it with work. You share it with employment. You share it with productivity. Everybody doing all right? Amen. Ephesians 6:6 talks about that we are not to be men pleasers. In other words, we're not supposed to be doing things just to be seen of people so we can increase our importance in our own mind. That's what the term men pleaser is. Why do we only doing things to be seen by others? I hate to tell you this, that's your own reward. When you do things to say, "Look at me," when you get looked at, that's the only reward you get for it. The praise of people is far overrated. How about we wait till we get to heaven and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Why don't we not worry about us getting the praise now and let God get the praise? Colossians 3:22, we read it a moment ago. "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." See, well, I have a lost boss. You don't know my boss. Why don't you do it for God? Why don't you do your job at work as though you're doing it for God? "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect to persons." My daughter took a day and a half off of work while we were there. She took Tuesday off, and she had a rough semester start this year, and she needed mom and dad. And we took her and did some therapy while we were there. It's called retail therapy. Shopping. I don't know how many Goodwills we went to. By the end of the day, she was happy. She got to spend money. She was happy. She got clothes. She's happy. Now, wait a minute. She went to work. She took Tuesday off. She went to work and only worked from 2 to 6 on Wednesday so she could be at church Wednesday night. She had no sooner gotten to church and her phone buzzed and it was her boss wanting her to come back because everybody that should be working wasn't doing the job because she wasn't there getting it done. Please, can you come back? She said, nope, I'm with my mom and dad. But they're not working like you work. They're begging her to come back. I didn't say anything to her at that moment. But this daddy was going,
that's right.
I didn't want to puff her head up. But I was proud of her. Her work ethic went before her. You see, we are not to show partiality when we strive to please God. Do you know you ought to work for an unsaved boss as hard as you'd work for the preacher if you were here at church? Everybody doing all right? I'm so proud of Brother Larry. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. But he built our sign. He's never built a sign that big in his entire career. He saved the best for last. Wouldn't take a penny. Got most everything donated. By the way, Brother Larry, Brother Fugit's slobbering. He wanted your number, and I said, keep your cotton-picking fingers off. I said, he's not doing one like that for you. He said, why? I said, because he told me he's only making one, and it's for my church. Amen. Brother Fugit looked at me and smiled and said, don't know who he is, but that's a good man.
Yes.
Amen.
He said, that's a good man. I said, yes, sir, he is. You see, we're not supposed to show partiality. We should work as hard for an unsaved man as we do for somebody that we know that's saved.
Right. Right.
When I was in Bible college and worked at a machine shop, I worked hard. I can't tell you I was the best worker in the shop, but I worked hard. I gave it everything I had every hour I was there, Brother Mike. There were times I came in early or stayed late to help get parts out because they needed them. I worked as hard as I knew how to work. I made mistakes. Who doesn't? But I gave it everything I had. Isn't it amazing that 28 years later, the owner of the company called me and has given us $165,000 for our building? I didn't make $165,000 when I worked for him in all the years combined. I started to work for him for $3.25 an hour. This isn't an excuse to stomp on people to do what we want. Servants and not being a men pleaser doesn't mean that you just, well, you ought to do this just because it's right to do and stomp on people along the way. Can I tell you something? When people are down, how about we pick them up instead of stomp on them? When you stomp on somebody's feelings, that's because of your arrogance and your pride. How about we stand on principle and do it by God's way? Did you know you can take a stand and not be mean? Now, somebody will take offense at what your stand is for, but you don't have to do it with a bad attitude. I had a man that I worked for, won't tell you who, when, why, where, how, or to what extent. But in one of the several churches I was an assistant pastor in, one of my pastors, and I would lead a lot of people at times, he would come to me and say, you struggle leading ladies. They're afraid of you. I never understood that. One day I found out why he said that. Because I wasn't afraid to tell any of the ladies no, including his own family. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Don't care who it is. My favorite statement is this: I don't care what your last name is.
Amen.
My children know that statement all too well. It doesn't matter what the last name is. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. We're going to do it the right way. Everybody doing all right? It doesn't mean you have to be mean about it. But it does mean this. Sometimes no is the best answer. You may not like it, but we're to live by principles in all areas, not just those areas in which we want to live by principle. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to change that book because we are afraid of losing our children to doing something else. You live by that book no matter what. We don't excuse wrong based on the fact that, well, it's family. Sorry. We're not to change the Bible principles for our friends. We're not. I've had people separate from me because I didn't change Bible principle. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. My own Bible college doesn't want me back because they changed direction and I didn't. That's all right. I still love people that are there. I don't go there and don't talk to them, but I love them. They're the ones that changed. I didn't. I'm still doing what they taught me to do. Just because they changed what they said doesn't mean God changed. Everybody doing all right? All right. We're to apply all principles to all areas of life, not just the ones we want. We have great standards of separation. How are we doing on our finances? We have great principles of soul winning. How are you doing with your love? How about we apply the principles to all areas, not just the ones we want? Number three, in a hurry, let's quit living for our own pleasure. We are not to live for our pleasure. We're to live for His pleasure. We are to live to give God pleasure. We're to live to give others pleasure, not just ourselves. Can I tell you something? It's fun when you give pleasure to somebody else. I had fun spending time with my kids, watching them smile and laugh at corny jokes. What did the big flower say to the little flower? Hey, bud. I mean, dumb jokes. What kind of plates do they use in space? Flying saucers. I mean, dumb jokes. Gotta love that boy, but he has a strange sense of humor. Can I tell you something? I love to give my wife pleasure. I love to see my wife laugh and smile. I love for her to get the things she wants. I have been more happy about the building of this house, not for me, but for her. You could put a 10 by 10 shed up against the church building next to my office and I'd be fine. I would. But I want her to have what she wants. I haven't picked anything out. It's all hers. Say, why? Because I want her to have what she wants. Say, well, what if she picked out something pink? It'll be pink. I don't care. What if she paints your bedroom pink? My eyes are going to be closed and going to be dark. I don't give a flip. As long as my shirts and my pants aren't pink, I don't give a flip. Or my ties. Or my coats. Yeah, I enjoy watching other... I enjoy watching you all get pleasure in church. This is one of the happiest churches you'll ever be in your whole life. I love it. I love it. I like watching my friends enjoy things. I enjoy giving pleasure to my friends. Yesterday, one of my friends from Christian High School, we've known each other since just about
the year after Noah got off the ark. Let's see, 35 years I've been a friend to this lady. She sang in my wife and I's wedding. I've known Jeannie and Mike forever, and we've been lifelong friends. He's working down in Fairfax and had yesterday off. So they called us on, or texted us on Wednesday and said, hey, could we meet Saturday afternoon, spend a couple hours together? We were still in Kentucky. I'll be honest with you, I really wasn't interested in driving down to Leesburg to meet him halfway and spend a few hours after a week-long trip. But when you've had friends that long and you don't get to see them but maybe once a year at most, you take advantage of what you can do. So I looked at her and said, what do you want to do? She said, don't want to, but I know we need to. So I came to work early and got things done. I worked hard. We got home from soul winning, changed clothes, kicked the dog out, let it do its business, brought the dog back in, and took off for Leesburg. Spent about maybe 3 hours with him. Turned around, drove back last night. You know, it was enjoyable to watch our friends enjoy some things. Now, we enjoyed it too. They didn't know we really didn't want to be there. But once we were there, we're fine. I would have enjoyed it better on a different date. But I had to do what I had to do, and it brought pleasure, and it did my heart good. They needed it. They needed it more than we needed it. That's what bringing pleasure to others. That means this: put aside or delay your pleasure to give others what they want. Let me ask you a question. When have you ever delayed what you want so God could get what he wanted? God, I got to have this, and I got to have this by then. And God, you've got to help me with this. When's the last time you looked up and said, God, what do you want? I want to go do that, but what do you want? Don't get me wrong. I counseled while I was in Kentucky. I preached while I was in Kentucky, and I was on vacation. I spent hours helping people while I was in Kentucky. But that's what makes God happy. So don't you ever get away from it? I don't want to get away from God. I'd like to be like the little tumbleweed, that every which way the wind blows, it goes. I'd like to be as much of a tumbleweed to God that when he says, go here, I go. And when go there, go there. Jesus put aside his pleasure to give God what God wanted. 60 seconds. God loves you. But Jesus didn't die just because Jesus loves you. He loved the Father. He loved the Father so much that the Father was going to be disappointed in man going to hell. So he said, Father, I'll give them back to you if you'll follow my plan. And Jesus paid Calvary's price for God the Father, not for us. He paid it so that the justice of God could be satisfied, so God could get man back to himself. It wasn't as much about getting man to God for man's sake. It was getting man to God for God's sake. Yes. Yeah. There was a song back in the 70s. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. No, when he was on the cross, God the Father was on his mind. He looked up and said, I'll give you what you want. I put aside everything that I had, everything that I am, and I'll give you what you want so that you can have it. Oh, would to God we live our lives that way. Do we put aside our own pleasure to give God what he wants? Will we put aside some time to go soul winning? Do we put aside time to come to church when we're supposed to? Well, I'm just so busy. I got so much to do. How much are you doing for God? I long to live my life to please God. I'd like to have every part of my life please God. It doesn't yet. I'm a sinner. I fail.
but I think we can all work on it. I know this. Getting saved pleases God. I know this. Telling somebody else about Jesus Christ pleases God. I know this. Obeying that book right there pleases God. I know there are some things I can do to please God. So if I keep doing those, I may not know them all, but the more I obey, the more He shows me. And that's how we please God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. That was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Virtually every hand, not all but most. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could care for it today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you today. Maybe you just need to come to an old-fashioned altar and get on your knees here up front. And just tell the Lord you'd like to please Him. And you know what area the Lord was talking to you about.